Now, very interesting. Om agrate manandasya jana jana salakaya chakshu samritam jena tasmai sri gurave namah. Sri Chaitanya Manavistam stapitam jena bhutale sayam rupakadamayam dadati sapanantitam. Vansha kopa jubhyas cha kripa sindhu bhaya bacha patitanam bhavane bhavashri namo namah. We heard about the death of Dhanukasura yesterday, who was an extremely powerful asura, who had a demon take, was so powerful, but he was in the shape of a donkey or an ass, and he was living in Talavan. So in Garga Samhita and also the Brahmavarta Purana, the pastime of Dhanukasura is explained. It's explained differently in both those two scriptures. The Bhagavatam most closely resembles the one of the Garga Samhita. We'll read this translation Prabhu has kindly done. Narada Muni, who is he speaking to? I didn't also understand. Narada Muni said, once the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, with Balaram and the cowherd boys, they were pleasingly herding their cows, and they reached near the Talavan forest. But, by the fear of Dhanukasura, not only the cowherd boys, but also Krishna, also didn't enter the Talavan forest. This is what it describes. Sri Balaram himself entered alone in the forest. Almighty and all-powerful Sri Balaram tucked his opulent blue garment, and to fetch the tau fruits, he approached the forest and started shaking the trees. And by his almighty arms, the tau fruits began to fall down. Inconceivably almighty Sri Balaram fearlessly started roaming around the forest, making great sounds. The demon, Dhanukasura, who was a friend of Kamsa's and was very powerful in the form of a donkey, was resting in the forest at midday. The sound of the falling fruits made him alert. It woke him up, and he walked and came in front of Balaram to attack him. From the westerly side, Dhanukasura, by his feet, attacked the chest of almighty Sri Balaram. And he turned around by showing his feet to attack again, by making a thundering donkey sound. So that was called Kasabdha, Shabdha. Immediately, Sri Balaram, by one hand, grabbed hold of the foot of the demon and threw Dhanukasura to the top of a tall tree. And if the effect of that, the whole column of tall trees started falling down and it made a big thundering sound. O king, it was a spectacular scene. The demon Dhanukasura once again raised himself up and attacked Sri Balaram like an elephant and kicked him and caused Balaram to fall far away. In response, Balaram immediately grabbed hold again of the demon's feet, and whirling him around and around, he dropped him on the ground. Danuka's forehead was broken, and he fell unconscious. But after a while, he got up once again, and roaring loudly, he changed his donkey form. He changed into a donkey form, or he changed from his donkey form?
A bigger form.
And by his four ferocious horns, he had horns, he started attacking all the cowherd boys. Cowherd boys ran towards the front side of the forest. An angry, mad Danukasura chased them. Then Sridham, by a huge bamboo stick, Subal with a walking stick, Stoka Krishna by a pas, that means a rope. And they started to chase the demon away. Arjun, all these are all the cowherd boys, they had a bamboo stick, an Anshu with a club, and great Rishabh with his legs, and Tejasvi by pushing his neck, Devaprastha by pushing his chest, and Varatapa with a spherical shot attacked Danukasura. And after that, Sri Krishna, by his lotus hand, threw the demon far away on top of Govardhan Hill. By this attack of Sri Krishna, the demon fell unconscious for a while, but he again got up and began shaking his huge donkey form, and he began making thundering sounds and attacked Sri Krishna by his ferocious horn. Because in the translation I had, it also said horns, and I'm wondering if they actually meant, was it not hoofs? Coming out, he had four horns coming out of his head. Cool. Yeah, what else? And he began attacked Sri Krishna from his ferocious horn from the sky. And within a radius of 100 yojanas, that means there's 8 miles in a yojana, so that's 800 miles, they started fighting. He started fighting with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And holding Danukasura, Sri Krishna threw the demon to the ground. And the demon fell again unconscious with broken bones. Once again, Danukasura, by making ferocious sounds, got up, and by his horn, he started throwing away stones from the hill toward Sri Krishna. Sri Krishna picked up the same rock, and he threw it back at the forehead of Danukasura. And the powerful demon, holding the same rock, threw it back toward Sri Krishna. And that time, Sri Krishna, holding the same rock, put it at the same place where it belongs. I think that's it, of Giriraj. Giriraj Govardhan. Then the Danukasura, the ass demon, then got ready to attack Balaram once again with his legs by making a tumultuous sound. By this sound, along with the Bhumandal, the whole universe began to shake. Then Almighty Sri Balaram took this donkey demon by his lotus hand and threw him on the ground. And Danukasura fell unconscious with a broken head. And Sri Balaram, by his fist, hit the donkey demon until he died. Immediately from the heavenly planets, all the demigods started throwing flowers on Sri Krishna and Balaram, along with the coward boys. And the soul of Danukasura came out and entered into the form of Shyamasunda and appeared as a beautiful celestial form. Immediately from the sky, a beautiful chariot appeared on the scene, which was bedecked by many jewels. And there was the sound of kartals and madangas and other celestial music. The chariot did parikram of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Sri Krishna and took the beautiful form of that demon towards Goloka Vrindavan. O King, Narada Muni says, this way, by making arrangements to release the the donkey demon's soul, Krishna made arrangements to release his soul. And then they came back, Krishna and the cowherd boys and Balaram, they came back to their home in Vrindavan. And on the way, the gopas were singing the glories of Sri Krishna and Balaram. Rishabhar. So then, Rishabhar, the best of rishis, that means the king said to Narada, please tell me who this ass demon was in his previous life and how he got liberation. Then Narada Muni said, there used to be a very powerful son of King Bali by the name of Varochanandan. His name was also, I think, Sahasira, something like that also. Once Varochana was intoxicated and was playing with young girls in the Gandhamandana mountains who were making noises by their ankle bells in various ways. He was engaged in enjoying with them on the hill. And within the same area, there was a rishi, Durvasa Muni, was meditating on the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. And by the sound of all the ankle bells and all the tumult, his meditation was broken. And he came out of the cave, very angry, and he cursed, I think it was the son of Varochan, so it's Varochanandan. That's what it said. So that was the son of Varochan. He cursed Varochan. You are acting like a donkey by your activities. You're acting like an ass. So you can stay as a donkey for 4 million years until, by the hand of Sri Balaram, you will be killed and you will get liberation. So why did Balaram kill him? Because Varochan was the son of whom? Bali Maharaj. And Bali Maharaj was grandson. Who was Prahlad's son? Varochan. Yeah, no, the son of Bali Maharaj. So he gave the boon because the Lord had given the boon to Prahlad Maharaj that he would never kill any of his descendants. So therefore, Krishna himself didn't kill this Dhanukasura. Rather, he had Balaram kill him. This is from the Gargasamhita. In the Brahma Bhavarta Purana, it describes that when the demon was in front of Krishna and fighting with him, he remembered who Krishna was. By the being in the association of Krishna, his memory was purified and he began to glorify Krishna. And praise Krishna's beauty and his position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he was a devotee actually, but somewhat a fallen one because he was born in the family of Prahlad Maharaj. So then by the power of Krishna's yoga maya, he allowed this, his name, I'll tell you his name in a moment, it's Varochanandan, the son of him, of Varochan, his name was Sahasika. So he allowed him to forget his loving relationship with Krishna, and then he began to fight with Krishna. So Krishna could, the pastime could go on. And then he was killed. Thank you. Now, there's something else. Jason asked the question yesterday about which demon. What does Bhaktivinoda Thakur say about which asuras he represents? What anartas? And Jagtvini Mataji answered some degree. So I'll read something. Krishna's activities are of two types. Daily, nitya and naimittik, occasional. Daily and occasional. In Gokul, all the eightfold pastimes unfold daily. In the earthly pastimes, Namitika, or occasional pastimes, are joined to the eightfold pastimes. Krishna's coming to and going from Braja and his killing of the demons are namitic pastimes, occasional pastimes. They are unavoidable for the devotees still living in the material world. Those occasional pastimes are present in Golok in an indirect way, but they are actually only present in the material world. These namitic pastimes, which are unfavorable for the practice of meditating on the daily pastimes, are given a symbolic significance. By remembering those pastimes, the devotee aspires to destroy his own sinful conduct. Complete ignorance of spiritual truth, originating from material intelligence, lack of spiritual intuition, and foolishness, which is contrary to spiritual knowledge, is represented by Dunukasura. In the 8th chapter of Sri Krishna Samhita, from the 13th verse to the end of the chapter, the 18 anartas, which are obstacles to Braja Bhajan, have been mentioned. Adding to this the pride of wealth represented by the Jamalarjun trees and the pride of performance of karma represented by the brahmanas, it becomes 20 obstacles. These 20 are unfavorable for Braja Bhajan. The serious chanter should first address the Lord and pray to him for the power to give up these unfavorable items. By doing this, the heart becomes purified. If the devotee humbly prays to Krishna to remove all the obstacles in the heart which are represented by the demons Krishna killed, he will certainly do so. All the obstacles represented by the demons who Balaram killed can be removed by the efforts of the devotee himself. Here is the secret of Braja Bhajan. Dunukasura represents the bad mentality which carries heavy loads. I found this very interesting. A bad mentality which carries heavy loads. These are the ignorance, lack of spiritual intuition, materialistic intelligence. This is all a heavy load that the mind must carry. Pralamba. So Dunukasura represents the bad mentality which carries heavy loads. So the ones by Balaram are removed, not exactly by Krishna, but one has to work hard to remove these. Pralamba represents lust for women, greed, and desire for worship and position. The devotee must remove these obstacles by his own efforts with the mercy of Krishna. Dunukasura means ignorance of one's spiritual identity, his sarup, the identity of the name and the identity of Krishna. With great endeavor, the devotee himself removes these obstacles. And from Krishna Samhita. Subtle discrimination is important for Vaishnavas. Those who invent social distinctions and preach the unbreakable principles of Vaishnavas while breaking them to suit their own needs are said to possess gross discrimination. This gross discrimination takes the form of the ass Dunuka. The ass cannot eat the sweet palm tree fruits, but he opposes the attempts of others to eat them. The purport is that the previous acharyas of the authorized sampradayas have written many spiritual literatures which people with gross discrimination neither understand nor allow others to see. Ass-like devotees who are simply interested in the regulative principles and are under the control of gross discrimination are unable to attain a higher platform. Vaishnava principles are so unlimitedly exalted that those who simply remain entangled in the regulative principles without endeavoring to understand the science of attachment to Krishna are compared to ordinary fruitive workers. Therefore, until the ass demon is killed, one cannot advance in the science of Vaishnavism. From Sri Krishna Chaitanya, the book by Professor Sanyal. The eighth obstacle is offered by the demon Dunukasura in the form of the ass, who tries to prevent the palm fruits, which others from eating the palm fruits, which he himself is unable to taste. The principles of Vaishnavism require for their due appreciation the most penetrating judgment. Persons possessed of blunted understanding are exposed to this great plight. The Vaishnava religion is indivisible. There is no scope in it for sectarian narrowness. It is the blunt-headed fool who is liable to misconceive the true nature of the Vaishnava community by supposing it to be a sect distinct from other sects of this world. As a matter of fact, thick-headed persons are themselves unable to understand the teachings of the spiritual works that have been written by the former acharyas of the community, and they are also apt to actively prevent others from having access to this work, those works. This is especially the case with those devotees possessed of stunted judgment who, being mechanically addicted to the regulations, have no inclination to strive for the attainment of the real status. But the Vaishnava religion holds within itself the prospect of infinite progressive advancement. Those muddy-headed persons who choose to remain confined within the literal meaning of the narrow limits of the scriptural regulations, being therefore led to neglect the unconventional path of spontaneous love for Godhead, soon become indistinguishable from persons who are wedded to the cult of fruit of mundane activities. It is therefore never possible to make progress in the Vaishnava religion until Dhanukasura in the form of the ass has been killed. That last was from Krishna Chaitanya, a book by a disciple of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, written during the time of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and I believe he wrote a foreword to it. Is that correct?
He did, and also
he did.
His references Krishna Samhita in his presentation of those.
It's from, basically he's taken out, he's put together the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from all the books. As one book, I've written it in English. So, Krishna has killed Dhanukasura, and now he's heading towards his home. And the remaining part of this chapter has two parts. There's Krishna's heading home, and his exchange of glances with the gopis, his being taken care of by his mothers, Rohini and Mother Yasoda. And then, the next day, the beginning of a new pastime is described. And that new pastime is the pastime of how Krishna chastises Kaliya. And that continues, that pastime continues for the next two chapters. Now, this section of two verses that describes in a very interesting, removed way in one sense, but very intimate way, Krishna's dealings with the Braja Gopis is the first time that any dealings with Krishna and the young unmarried or married young gopis of Vrindavan are described. In the 10th canto. And this description is of purvarag, or separation prior to them having, the gopis and Krishna having any direct meeting. There are different types of separation based on love for Krishna. Without love, without relationship, there is no question of any feeling of separation. Right now, we are separated from billions and billions of human beings on this planet. But there is no missing them, what to speak of feeling separation from them, or longing to be in their association and presence. Because there is no relationship, there is no separation. So this type of relationship, which is separation, the specific type of relationship, which is separation, prior to an actual meeting, is again called Purvara. Purvara means before. An attachment that's created before, that's existing, burning before an actual meeting with Krishna. So, Dhanukasura has been killed, and text 41 describes, then Krishna Kamala Patraksha Punya Shravana Kirtana. So Krishna Kamala Patraksha, Lord Krishna, Kamala Patra Aksha, whose eyes are like the petals of a lotus flower. Punya Shravana Kirtanam, whose glories are most pious to hear and chant. His eyes are like a lotus flower, and his glories, or the petals of a lotus flower, because the petals of a lotus flower are shaped like this, and Krishna's eyes are shaped like that, lotus eyes. And his glories create piety and purity in the heart for both the chanter and the hearer. After the killing of Dhanukasura, Stuyamano Anugar Gopai Sagrajo Brajam A Vrajat. So Stuyamana, being glorified, Anuga, by his followers, the coward boys, Gopai, Sagraja, with his elder brother, Agraja means elder brother, Balaram, Sagrajo Bhajam Avrajat. He returned to his home in Braja. And while all this was happening, Stuyamana Anogai Gopai, all the coward boys, while they were returning home, all the cowherd boys were chanting the glories of Krishna. How he had killed Dhanukasura and all the S demon who was so powerful. Even the demigods were actually afraid of him. And therefore when he was killed, they showered flowers upon him, upon Krishna and Balaram. And Krishna had done this, so the cowherd boys, Stuyamano, Anugar, the cowherd boys' followers, Gopai, they were walking with Krishna and they were chanting about Krishna's wonderful activities that had happened during the day. The simple purport here says that when the glories of Sri Krishna are vibrated, both the speakers and the hearers are purified and become pious. So this is a description of Krishna's returning to Vrindavan on the same day, that same first day, when he first, returning to the town of Vrindavan, his home in Vrindavan, on the same day that he took charge of the cows and went into the Vrindavan forest for the first time. So this is the same day. Srila Sanatana Goswami, and there are text 41 through 46, these six verses will describe what happened when he returned that day. And this, just as the activities that we heard of Krishna, that Krishna performed with his coward boyfriends, they were expressed as taking place on that day, but they were typical activities that took place on many days. This is what the coward boys and Krishna would do when they were in the forest together. So similarly, this is typical type of activities that occurred when Krishna was returning from the forest. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments, by the connection of Vrindavan, Krishna performed the Talavan Leela in the Kartik system, season, at the end of Kartik, because again it was the Gopastami day, on the Astami, in the second half of the month of Kartik, when Krishna was given charge of the cows. And therefore, there was an abundance of fruits and flowers, of fruits. Let's see if there's any further comments here. Yes, here's more from Sanatana Goswami. Having exhibited his power of attracting the hearts of all, which is hinted at by the very word Krishna, which is specifically clarified by the words beginning Kamala. So Krishna Kamala Patraksha. By the word Kamala Patraksha is expressed his beauty. And the word Punyashravana Kirtana means he who hearing and chanting about are pious engagements, they express the greatness of all his transcendental qualities, his activities and activities. Thus, the pain of separation of the residents of Vrindavan was dispelled by hearing about him, and so on, with elation within the heart of those offering prayers. This is implied. So because when Krishna went into the forest and he performed all those activities, all the residents of the Vrindavan forest were thrilled. The trees were thrilled. The bees were thrilled. The grass was thrilled. The birds were thrilled. The peacocks were dancing. They were all making their offering. The cowherd boys, the cows, the calves, the deer. But while they were thrilled, the residents of the town of Vrindavan, the elderly gopis, the elderly gopas, the young gopis, they were all burning in separation from Krishna because Krishna was everything for them all. They had nothing else in their consciousness other than a desire to please Krishna. Nothing else. They love Krishna fully. So when they heard the glorification of Krishna from the cowherd boys, especially, so then all the separation that they had been feeling from Krishna in the day, it was dispelled. In this way, while he was returning to Braja, and especially aiming at the revelation of his form qualities and so on, by which his own desires will become fulfilled, being praised by the cowherd boys, by their glorifying his form qualities and so on, and especially by their description of the killing of Danukasura and other activities which were performed that very day, they were following behind him. So Krishna was in front. Then the cows, then the boys, especially Balaram, were behind. This was, why was Krishna in front? This was especially for affecting the direct audience of Sri Krishna and the gopis. Because in the presence of the cowherd boys, especially in the presence of Balaram, Krishna could not have any exchanges with the gopis. Or else, his praises are being sung and offered in pure love by his anugas or servants, and also by the cowherd boys and his companions, such as Sridham, who have natural friendship for him, and the gopas, or by the residents of Braja, other relatives and friends who are coming forward. So Krishna and all the cowherd boys and the cows were coming forward into the town. They were coming into the town of Vrindavan, and residents of Vrindavan were coming forward to meet Krishna. I think it will describe later how the first thing that they see, the residents of Vrindavan see, because they go upon, there's the Chandra Shilaka, I think it is called. They go on the tower on the top of the house that is used to look at the moon, a very tower and a cool outside tower. They would go there and wait for the sound. And before they would hear any sounds, they would see dust, a cloud of dust being raised by the hooves of the calves and cows. And then, gradually, as they came forward, they would make out the forms. And then, they would hear the sound of the flute and the glorification of Krishna. And then they would actually see Krishna So all the residents of Vrindavan were coming forward to meet them. Why were they coming forward? They could not stop because of their love, natural, spontaneous love for Krishna. Being praised, as there's a very interesting point that Sanatana Goswami says, the word is together with his, he returned, Vrajam Avrajat, along with his elder brother, he returned home as the cowherd boys chanted his glories. So it specifically says here, even though it's not in the word by words here, but Sanatana Goswami says it, that, yes, it's returned home, being glorified. It's in the translation. He returned home to Braja. So Sanatana Goswami says something interesting. Being praised, he went home, is stated because that's in 42, I think. 43, 42. In one of these verses, it talks about him returning home because, and by Sukadeva Goswami, because he was speaking home even while seated on the Ganga, because of his experiencing a special sentiment. That shows that he's practically speaking as a resident of Vrindavan. Because he said they returned home. He was speaking it, indicating that it was his home. He didn't say, oh, they returned to Vrindavan or their homes. He said they returned home. So this is indicating that he was actually a resident of Vrindavan, in fact. Sri Badarayani. Who is Badarayani? That's where he says. But this is spoken by Sukadev, because he's the one sitting on the bank of the Ganga. So it's Sukadev. No, go ahead. Sorry. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, Krishna, because the word begins Krishna Kamala Patraksha. Krishna means the attractor of the hearts of those living in Braja. And Kamala Kirtana is also in there, means the attractor of the eyes, whose kirtanam, after you can read Vishwanath's, or maybe you can show it to me so I can read it probably easier into the microphone, whose kirtanam, the song of the flute is such that by it the two ears become pious or fortunate. This is also subtly hinted by the attraction of the hearing faculty. Because I've taken these rough translations over here. So here is one that's a little more polished. Krishna will enchant the hearts of all the Vrijvasis, whose lotus petal eyes attracts the eyes of all, and whose flute song, kirtana, creates good fortune for the ears. Returned home to Braja amidst the cowherd boys who were chanting his glories. 42. Now this is what was happening. Now 42 and 43 describe in a very, very, very unique way, and very subtle and indirect way, the exchanges between Krishna and the gopis. Lord Krishna's hair, powdered with the dust raised by the cows, was decorated with a peacock feather and forest flowers. His eyes, as previously said, were Kamala Pakshana, Kamala Patraksha. They were like lotus flowers. His hair was powdered with the dust raised by the cows. His hair was decorated by a peacock feather. And his hair was decorated by forest flowers. The Lord glanced charmingly and smiled beautifully, playing upon his flute while his companions chanted his glories. The gopis all together came forward to meet him. their eyes very eager to see him. Purport. Specifically, the gopis were young married girls, and therefore they would be naturally ashamed and fearful of casting loving glances at a beautiful young boy like Sri Krishna. But Sri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all living beings are his eternal servants. Thus the gopis, although the most pure-hearted of all great souls, did not hesitate to come forward and satisfy their love-struck eyes by drinking in the sight of beautiful young Krishna. The gopis also relished the sweet sound of his flute and the enchanting fragrance of his body. The gopis, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur said, went to meet him who had a beautiful smile in his eyes. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that. And Srila Sanatana Goswami points out that the beauty of his divine face is described in three parts. At the top, the peacock feather, in the middle, his glance, and the lower part, his smile. So madaram, madaram, badaram, madaram. So his face is so beautiful. His body is beautiful. His face is beautiful. His smile is so beautiful. Srila Swami comments that the peacock feather is stuck to the curling locks of his hair. And Sanatana Goswami comments, special beauty and other ornaments are present, but these are his evening array of forest decorations. This is when Krishna goes to the forest in the morning. He doesn't have the peacock feather, perhaps, and isn't decorated with forest flowers and the minerals smeared on his body. But these are the special decorations that Krishna is ornamented, that are gifts from the Vrindavan forest and their residents. This is Sanatana Goswami's comment in a little more detail. There are three reasons for ascertaining that he is arriving in Vrindavan, which ascertainment is arranged in order to make all the residents come forward. First, there is the dust of the cows. Then the sound of his flute and his glory is being chanted by his followers. And then the followers, the cowherd voice. The gopis are his dear girlfriends who have passed their childhood, and therefore even Sri Baladev has definitely avoided this encounter. So Balaram stands in the back. So that his younger brother, without embarrassment, may enjoy meeting these ladies, but the meeting is very subtle, just by a glance. Balaram, therefore, on one pretext or another, goes some distance away. And the particular reason for the gopis approaching him is stated, Dudrikshita Drisha. So it says in the last line of the sloka, the Sanskrit is Gopyo Dudrikshita Drisho. Because their eyes were eager to see him. What to speak of their souls or their minds? They were completely enraptured, captivated by Krishna, in love, having nothing to do with the mundane, lustful dealings between young boys and young girls. This is the transcendental world. Even whose eyes were supremely eager to see him because of the arising of various kinds of anxiety due to his having gone far away for the first time to tend the cows, and similarly because of his coming back after a greater lapse of time involved in tending the cows than he had previously been away, because previously he was only tending the calves, and the calves had to come back regularly to drink their mother's milk, but the cows were grown up so Krishna could take them further away. So they were especially eager. Their eyes were so eager to see Krishna because they hadn't seen him in a longer time than previously. Samita, means joining together amongst one another. So that's what the verse says. They all together, they came forward to meet him. So their eagerness, their unanimously rejecting fear, modesty, and so on, they all came forward to meet Krishna. That's one meaning of Samaita. Or else, because of all of them of running with great speed out of their own individual homes, they met simultaneously on the road. So either together they decided, not even decided, they were just spontaneously so attracted to Krishna because they hadn't seen him. They just ran towards Krishna, rejecting all fear, rejecting their modesty. Or another meaning is that they ran with great speed out of their own individual houses, and then they met all together on the road, just going to have a glimpse of Krishna. This is yugayitam namesena chakshusha sparishayitam sunyayitam jagatsavam. Without Krishna, the whole universe appears empty. This is love for Krishna. Or else another reason, because of their having previously met all together on account of their suffering from separation, so they found some excuse or another to meet together and just talk about, oh, how their hearts were aching because they were unable to see Krishna. Vishwanath Chakravarti, that was Sanatana Goswami's comment. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment is as follows. Those girls whose eyes had developed the desire to see him. Thus it is subtly implied by the words Gopyo Driksita Drisho. Their eyes were eager to see him. So that implies that their eyes were disregarding the gopis' avoidance based on shame and fear. The gopis didn't want to, out of their shyness, lajja, and their fear of being caught, they didn't want to look at Krishna, but their eyes became independent. Their eyes were so eager to see Krishna, they disregarded the gopis' shame and fear, and they gave up such shame and fear. They gave up, and giving up such shame and fearfulness, they had achieved the role of independent agents. And by this is hinted the metaphor that the eyes of the gopis, taking note of the attainment of the great fortune, of the sweet sound of his flute, and the fragrance of his limbs, by their neighboring senses of hearing and smell, out of jealousy, unable to tolerate their avariciousness, their greed, have abandoned the gopis, and who are their own shelter, in order to gain the great fortune, have precipitously gone off themselves to the side of Krishna. So something very wonderful he's saying. He's saying there, because it's mentioning that the fragrance of Krishna, their noses had caught the fragrance of Krishna, and their sense of hearing was hearing the sound of the flute. So the eyes couldn't see Krishna, and they became envious of their greedy senses that were so near to them, their noses and the ears, and they rejected them and became independent agents because of that. And they went themselves, their eyes went themselves to Krishna. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur has such especially wonderful explanations here. And Samaita, gathered together, indicates they're all going, each arguing with their own mother-in-laws. Are you intending to kill me by trying to keep me back? This is the gopis of Vrindavan. Nothing to do with the material world. They only fully absorbed in Krishna. Their consciousness fully absorbed in Krishna.
Are you going to stop me or kill me?
Here it says, in this translation, it says the husbands. Here it says the mother-in-laws. And then the next text. No, everyone is attracted to Krishna, but for the sake of the Leela, it has to be like this. If the husband said, yes, go and see Krishna, you should always be with Krishna, then there would be no excitement in the Leela. And therefore it would be neither pleasurable for the gopis nor for Krishna. So this is the arrangement of Yoga Maya. The husbands have to be there, and the husbands have to be against them going to see Krishna. And the gopis, out of their the torrents of love, they have to go to Krishna, pushing aside the dams of their mother-in-law's and husband's desires. Otherwise, there's no parikya bhava unless there's none of this specific mellow that is unique to Vrindavan, unless that is there. So everything in Vrindavan is simply to increase the pleasure of Krishna and the residents of Vrindavan, their ecstasies.
Are any of these gopis married to cowherd boys?
Yeah, who have a relationship with Krishna like that. One could think like that, but one shouldn't think like that. Coward boys are probably too young, it would seem. Because the girls, they're like the same age as Krishna, and the girls get married at a younger age than the boys, or they marry older persons. But yet everyone loves Krishna. How could they be in Vrindavan if there's no love of Krishna? But how could Parakya Bhava exist, which is the special attraction of Vrindavan, unless there is Jyotila, Kotila, Abhimanyu, and all those who are trying to stop Srimati Radharani from meeting Krishna. So it's all to add to the flavor of the Leela. This is reality. So the next verse. Would there be like I? So this is the second verse describing the Purvarag, or the meeting of how Krishna meets before they actually ever meet. Would there be like eyes, the women of Vrindavan drank the honey of the beautiful face of Lord Mukunda. And thus they gave up the distress they had felt during the day because of separation from him. The young Vrindavan ladies cast sidelong glances at the Lord, filled with bashfulness, laughter, and submission. So there's a wonderful explanation of this, especially by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, that we'll read. And Sri Krishna, completely accepting these glances as a proper offering of respect, entered the cowherd village. So this was the entirety of their meeting was with these glances. But these glances were filled with the greatest amount of love, the exchange of love, and it was causing complete ecstasy in both the young gopis and with Krishna. Here's the purport. In Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada describes this incident as follows. All the gopis in Vrindavan remain very morose on account of Krishna's absence. This, as taught by Srila Prabhupada, and is taught by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and is taught by the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, is the process of developing love for Krishna. Not to think, I was with Krishna and I'm meditating on being with Krishna and enjoying with Krishna. Not like that at all. But the process is called Varahabhav, Vipralamba Seva. To be missing Krishna, to be thinking, I am the most unfortunate. Here I am in the material world. I'm attached to hundreds and thousands of things in this material world. I'm attached to my body, I'm attached to my mind, I'm attached to my computer, I'm attached to my house, I'm attached to my dog, my cat, my car, my money, my family members. But I'm not attached to Krishna. How unfortunate I am. How unfortunate. And look, on the other hand, the residents of Vrindavan. A moment's separation feels like thousands and thousands of years. When Krishna's gone for the day, they're so eager, they're pushing aside everything else just to have a glimpse of Him. And here we are, millions and millions and millions of years go by and we don't care. We're satisfied with, just like when a young child wants something. I want a car. You know, if they point to something, never do you bring the children to the supermarket or Kmart or something like that, or Big W? Yes. And it's impossible to be in there for a child without, I want this, I want that, I want that. So many things, because the ayato visaya pung san sangha te shabujayate. And then the parents, when the children are young, you can't get away with it when they're Brendan's age, but when there's what the parent does is distract the child. They give them some little candy or something like that. Look at this over here. This is the most wonderful thing. Just look at this. And the child's consciousness goes, it compresses from being all over the store and wanting everything and being satisfied with a little candy. So our consciousness, when it's expanded, is with Krishna. But Maya's job is to offer us some candy in the material world. And we're so silly. We compress our consciousness as satisfied with something completely, completely, completely insignificant. And we become entangled in all the dualities of it and the problems of it. Because as soon as you want something in the material world, say if you want to get your education, or you want to be with someone, or you want to get some money, the first thing that happens is what? Or you want to get married, first thing that happens is a problem. There's an obstacle. You want to buy a car, immediately there's an obstacle and a problem. And then your consciousness has to get involved in solving the problem and removing the obstacle, because I want. As soon as there is a desire in the material world, I want, then immediately the function of Maya is to create an obstacle that entangles us in the complexities of material life. And suddenly, one's so entangled, one can't remember anything, think of anything, because one's consciousness is small and compressed on something completely insignificant. And forgetting what is really of value. What is really sweet, what the real sweet is. What is our real welfare, what is the real prayojan, what is the real necessity, what is the real goal? We get entangled in a billion things. And that's Maya's job. And then you get in trouble and you're thinking, only if I solve this one problem, because I only have this, I want this one thing. And suddenly, as soon as you get involved, that one problem has turned into five problems. And then and then you go for one of the five, and then that turns into 10 more. And suddenly, your whole life is full of problems. We laugh now. Because it's the end of a day trying to deal with all these kind of things. And one never has time. One ends up with no time for Krishna. This is... So therefore... Srila Narottama Das Thakura says, Janaya Shunya Bishakainu Radha Krishna Nabajiya. No worship of, I've spent my life not worshiping Radha and Krishna. So unfortunate, I have knowingly drunk poison. After hearing, still I have drunk poison. What would happen? Interesting experiment. What would happen if we just said, no, I'm not going to deal with any of these problems. I'm just going to see what happens to them. Let's see if they just, maybe they'll take care of themselves. Huh? Because we're attached to it. My Krishna's mercy. But Maya's job is to say, oh, you don't want to think about problems? Let's see. Let's see how much you don't want to.
Impossible.
No? Let's see. You've already changed. Wait a second, you just changed sides. You can't do that.
Nobody followed him.
Okay. Because it's a little bit late already, so we won't. I don't want to rush these next verses and their comments. So, if Krishna allows, we shall continue tomorrow. Questions or comments? Yes.
The reading we had about
Nishad, oh, on the reading of Bhakti Vinod Thakur.
Mentioned that the
non-mythic
pastime
is present in Goloka. As I understand it, there's a conception. Oh, we've just killed this demon, but there's no act. How could the demon? How could a demon be there? That's the idea. Yes. There's the feeling. Oh, this demon has been vanquished, but there's no actual demons. No one averse to Krishna allowed in. Yes.
Obviously, the attraction to Krishna, because Krishna is very beautiful, the beauty is the past everything.
No, because Krishna.
Balaram is also very beautiful.
Yeah.
But how come the people of Vrindavan, they only attracted more to Krishna and not to
Balaram? Because everyone, yeah? Everyone is attracted to Balaram too, but Krishna is the supreme lord. But Balaram does have his own gopis. Huh? Yeah, Krishna is also attracted to everyone in Vrindavan. But Vrindavan is the land of Krishna, and everything is set up for Krishna, for Krishna's pleasure. For those who want to have a relationship with Balaram, for those who want to have a relationship with Balaram, an arrangement can be made. Don't worry. Everything happens exactly, properly, according to one's desire. But his question was more not on that level. But Balaram was a young, beautiful young boy, and Krishna was a beautiful young boy. How come all the gopis are only attracted to Krishna? That's basically the question. And then you could also say, but there's Sridham and Subal. How come all the gopis aren't attracted to them too? Because that would then, who's going to be Krishna? Who's going to be the center of attention? But in the spiritual world, in Goloka Vrindavan, everyone is in agreement on this one point, that Krishna is the center. That everyone has decided from the core of their heart that I love Krishna and I want to please him, and I don't care anything about even pleasing myself. I just want to please Krishna. The result of that is ecstasy. But the cause, ecstasy is a byproduct. It's not a desire. Because when there's a choice between feeling ecstasy or service to Krishna, the residents of Vrindavan always take service to Krishna. And they want the ecstasy to go away if it's hampering their service to Krishna. Complete selflessness, complete unselfish love of Krishna. So if we want to go there, we have to leave behind all that. All the self-centered, petty selfishness that keeps us in the material world. So where do you want to be?
Can I? With this attachment at the moment?
No, wait. You have to understand. Which are you attached to?
No.
Which are you attached to? Brendan, when I first met Brendan, he was small. Where is that Brendan now? No. That Brendan is gone. Are you attached to this Brendan? What are you going to do in 5 years when he's taller than you by 3 feet? This Brendan's gonna be gone, there'll be a new Brendan. But the thing that makes Brendan so lovable, and he certainly is so lovable, is who he really is, the soul. So you, all four souls, should go together. And you should carry them. I guess you're going to have to do all the work. Anyway, at least get him into your taxi and then go to Vrindavan.
So Balaram is also the same mood. Always want to put Krishna at the center.
Of course. Everyone, everything, everyone in Vrindavan. They all have their parts to play. Wonderful, yes? You want to go to Vrindavan? Yes. Very good. Yeah. Have you seen the Panchatattva?
She's going to make a Panchatattva for the school holiday at home.
Wow. Out of what?
Out of this imagination, creativity, top with clocks and everything.
Oh, wonderful. May I keep this? This I won't keep. This you keep. I'm sorry, I took it from you. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Sri Gopala ki jai, Sri Krishna Vrindavan Leela ki jai, Nitai Gopala ki jai.